Well, on the 25th of November, the world celebrates White Ribbon Day. White Ribbon Day is a global campaign formed in 1991 by a couple of pro-feminist men in Ontario, Canada. Their purpose through this campaign, this global campaign, is to end men's violence against women. There's something terribly wrong with humanity, isn't there? That a campaign like this has to happen. There's something terribly wrong with humanity when women are abused, often, so often, by the ones who ought to protect them and love them. Tonight's passage has real life practical application to this issue. Peter now turns his attention from the wives to the husbands, and he instructs them how to live honourably in the marriage. You will hopefully remember over the last few weeks as we have been working through 1 Peter chapter 2, halfway through chapter 2 and onwards, Peter has already been providing immensely practical instruction on how to live honourably as citizens, as workers, and as wives. It all began in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, where he said, "I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable." And so then he goes on to work out what that looks like as citizens, as workers, as wives, as husbands. And so, as promised last week, tonight we'll be focusing upon the men, particularly husbands. Some of you wives might feel, or some of you women might feel a little bit ripped off because the men only get one verse. We could make a sarcastic joke about one verse for men, it's all they can cope with, but I won't, even though I have alluded to it. It is not unbalanced. It is one verse, yes, but has immense, broad, heavy weight to this verse. And this one verse is a real challenge to Christian men. And when it's taken seriously, it is a game changer. It's a game changer for marriage. It's a game changer for relationships in marriage between a husband and a wife. And it is all positive. It is all good and all beneficial for marriage and for children, if the Lord so gives, and for the church and for society. One verse has this ripple effect. So this, even though we're focusing just upon Christian husbands tonight, this verse affects you as well, even if you are not a Christian husband. It's helpful to understand the cultural background that these Christians were living in. At this time that Peter was writing to, in most cases, marriages were just a marriage of convenience. It was a way in which the male or the man could continue on his family name. And in his view, well, the wife's role within the marriage was mainly preparing meals and spinning and doing some weaving. So in his eyes, the wife's duties were no better than a domestic slave. You can see how this morning's passage really impacts upon a husband's view of his wife. But here in this culture, his wife's duties were no better than a domestic slave. And when the man was part of the upper class, his work with the state took up most of his time. And so his focus was solely on work, mostly upon work, and he was away from his wife so often. So it's in this culture, it's in this setting that Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, tells the Christian husbands how they are to live honourably in the marriage.
He has said to them, you are ones who have received mercy. Back in chapter 2, verse 10, once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. These are men who have been changed. They have been transformed by the power of God, through the power of the gospel. They have received his Holy Spirit. These people are God's people, and they are thus to live a different way, God's way. They are to be holy because God is holy. They are God's people. And so Peter, in doing all of this, is telling them, instructing them how to live honorably in the marriage. Now, as he does this, he reminds the husbands two things regarding their wives. First of all, they are weaker than them. And secondly, they are joint heirs of eternal life. Let's look at each of those in turn, first of all, because he's establishing something about the relationship. First of all, he says in verse 7, part of that, he acknowledges that the women are a weaker vessel. Now, listen to me very clearly. This does not mean women are inferior. That was already established this morning. But here again, this is not saying that women are inferior. It's most likely referring to the biological makeup of women. Generally speaking, men are stronger than women. When boys grow up into men, their shoulders broaden, their muscles build, their jaws square, voices drop. And there's something very masculine about this. And strength is physically noticeable. You all know this. I'm just stating the obvious. But sometimes the obvious needs to be said and stated without fear. Without fear of what others are going to say. Well, that's politically incorrect. When girls grow into women, they show more feminine qualities. A maturer beauty, softer appeal. And their beauty is physically noticeable, not their strength. Again, I know this can be taken the wrong way, but all I am doing is stating the obvious, which you all should know already. And Peter reminds them of this. Husbands, know that your wives are generally weaker than you. That's the way God has designed both of you. But there's another thing that he mentions. He says that they are heirs with you of the grace of life. They are joint heirs of eternal life. I take that grace of life to mean eternal life. Now consider the significance of that, being a joint heir. Remember, in this culture that Peter was writing to, women in those days did not inherit anything. A dowry came with them when they were married, and that dowry was passed on to the husband. But when the husband died, the dowry went back to the father. So they actually didn't own or inherit anything. But when they were saved by the gospel of Christ, the wives became an equal heir with their husbands. They received equal proportion of something greater than just property. Equal share in the inheritance of God's kingdom. I'm not too sure if many of you have heard about the Gnostic Gospels. There's one called the Gospel of Thomas. There's a reason why these Gnostic Gospels aren't part of the inspired scripture, because they don't speak truth all the time. The Gospel of Thomas, at the end of it, says, Jesus is saying, women must become men in order to inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's just ridiculous. And that's why that gospel is not in the scriptures, because it's just not true. Here, Peter is reminding his writers, these men, that their wives have an equal share in the inheritance of God's kingdom. The Christian wife has the same salvation status as her husband. And that is radical thinking for first century living back then. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul wrote, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Remember, the Greeks were considered down here according to the Jews. But he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You all have equal status, equal salvation status in Christ. So there are those two things that Peter reminds these husbands of. Yes, the wives are weaker than them, but they have equal status in the sight of God regarding their salvation. And so because of this, therefore, knowing this about his bride, the Christian husband lives in an understanding way with his wife. See how Peter writes it. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honour to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Live in an understanding way with your wife because of these two things. Now, what does it mean to live in an understanding way? That word live is an important one, because it's to do with dwelling together, living together at home. It's this domestic life together. It includes sexual intimacy between husband and wife. Live together. Okay. You know, being a Christian, you know where the hardest place to be a Christian is? Not at the workplace, but at home. It's the hardest place to be a Christian, because there you are more willing to let your sinful nature reign. Impatience, a sharp, nasty word that you would never in a million years expose or say or do among people here at church. Hardest place to be a Christian, at home. But here he is saying, live at home with your wife in an understanding way. Understand your wife. I've often wondered about this verse. Isn't it interesting that Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. He doesn't say, wives, live with your husbands in an understanding way. Now, why on earth would that be the case? Maybe it's because we men are more simple to understand. And maybe because wives are a little bit more complex. Maybe. Whatever the case is, this is directed to men to understand their wives, their character, their temperament, to deal with her gently, patiently, faithfully, lovingly. Understand them. Understand your wife. Don't get exasperated. Understand them. Understand what makes them tick. But it's not just about understanding your wife, but it's understanding God's directions for your life as a husband. So it's that dual thing, understanding the wife, but understanding God's requirements. What does it mean to apply the fruit of the Spirit in the marriage relationship? What does it mean to hold the tongue in the marriage relationship? Or use it in such a way that lifts up and honors and blesses your wife. No one, especially Christian husbands, can say, who can fathom the mind and ways of women? No one. Peter is not letting us husbands off the hook one bit. We cannot throw up our hands and say, well, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Just got to do the best we can.
Here is God's word on the issue, men. God's direct word to us to discover the fascinating intricacies that God has placed into the heart and mind and manner of our wives. God is saying to you husbands, I have given you a wonderful helper to study. Understand her. Investigate. Gain insight. And grow in sanctified humility. Now let's put a little bit of application on this. Maybe you have a job that requires you to travel a bit. Maybe you need to consider whether it's considerate to live with your wife or live with her in an understanding way by traveling so much and being away so much. It's not good enough for us men to say, well, she just needs to understand. She just needs to be considerate. It's good for us not to forget to whom God is speaking in this verse. I realize there are exceptions to the rule, and people are in the armed services, and so they're away from their spouses quite a long time. But often men can turn exceptions to the rule into a rule. And so the question really for us men this evening, as we hear God speaking to us to live with our wives in an understanding way, because they are a weaker vessel and heirs of the grace of life with us, are we willing to sit before this passage and let the words of God alter us? Or are we going to find another excuse? Are we going to ignore it? Hope to ignore it? Live in an understanding way with your wife. There's another thing that the Christian husband must do, and that is show honour to his wife. Show honour to his wife, that is to regard her with great respect, to esteem her or admire, appreciate, value, cherish. I know there are a couple of men in this congregation who have received, I think it's MBEs if I recall correctly, from the Queen. They are members of the British Empire. They went to Buckingham Palace and received that honour from the Queen for faithful years of service. Husbands, in the same way, are to honour their wives because they are weaker and because they are heirs. Honour them not because of years of service in the kitchen, but honour them because they are weaker and heirs. If God has honoured her with an equal share in the inheritance of God's kingdom, how can we husbands not honour our own wives? But so often, because they are the weaker sex, women have been taken advantage of. Their rights have been reduced, their status has been lowered, dominated by men, exploited by men, abused by men, that have become their plaything, their slave, their doormat. But when a Christian husband lives with his wife in an understanding way, when a Christian husband honours his wife, he will consider her needs and will be thoughtful to her by showing patience, by listening to her. Again. And again, and again, by asking her opinion, by valuing her opinion, by asking if she needs help, by no way making her feel inferior, embarrassed, scared, or ashamed. He would do this by protecting her,
by speaking kindly to her and about her, by praising her among others, and by trusting her.
I wonder if this describes the husbands in this congregation.
Imagine a church that is known around the town, that is filled with men who work honestly at loving and honoring and understanding their wives. Imagine that church. Do you think that would be an attractive church? Do you think that church would be a beacon of light, one that you would want to attend? Wouldn't that church be one? Wouldn't it be one that takes seriously the call to follow Jesus? And isn't that a church that you want your boys to grow up in? That they might see role models before them. That they might know and understand and see what it means to be Christian husbands who honour and live with their wives in an understanding way. Isn't that a church you want your girls to grow up in? That they might be able to find future husbands there. Is this that sort of church? You know, God's grace is sufficient for all things, including you and me, that this might actually be true of this place here. God's grace is sufficient, and we need his grace. If God's word in Proverbs 31 honors the excellent wife in a very special way, ought not her husband also honor her? And this honoring of our wives is a total cultural contrast. Remember that the culture back then, wives were of no real significance and consequence. Marriages were just of convenience to continue the male's family name. Well, our culture isn't really that much different. Not necessarily the same area or the same things, but maybe I'm thinking more of an Australian context, but our context isn't much different from a UK context. And I'm sure it's the case over here that marriage, among guys, you hear about it, oh, you're going to be chained down now. No more freedom. Oh, you've got a boss. And they speak down about their wives rather than honour them. I'm guessing your culture here is the same as ours in Australia. Let me tell you, men, the husband who honours his wife in the world will be honoured by Jesus Christ in the next. Now, Peter hasn't finished. He has said that we are to live with our wives in an understanding way and show honour to our wives. But he finishes this one verse, in a sense, with a left hook to the guy, just in case he wasn't listening. He says, if you do this, it removes prayer barriers. If you do this, it will make sure that your prayers will not be hindered. So when the Christian husband lives honourably in the marriage in this way and shows honour to his wife, his prayers are not hindered. Do you see the massive spiritual ramifications of this one verse? Huge. A husband's relationship with his wife will either help or hinder his relationship with God. A husband's relationship with his wife will either help or hinder his relationship with God. If he is not treating his wife with understanding and with honour, then do you think that will be fertile ground for flourishing prayer life? Do you think that God will be pleased to receive his prayer? There's that sober warning in Psalm 66 that we sang earlier. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And here we need to get some pretty serious self-reflective stuff going on in our lives, guys. that we need to think, how am I treating my wife? Am I really living with her in an understanding way? Learning to understand the complexities and intricacies of her nature? And am I understanding God's requirement of me in how I interact with her? And am I honouring her? If his relationship with God is out of kilter, then that will affect every relationship. See, we can hide these things for a time, but not forever, because they eventually come out. When something is rotten, it smells. The longer it's ignored, the worse it gets, the harder it is to cover the smell. So, husbands, think about the far-reaching implications of this single verse on your life. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honour to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Know this is a very specific word for you men from God, to live honourably, because you have received mercy from God on high. Know also that if you ignore this verse, you will be sinning against your wife. You will be sinning against the God who gave her to you. But if you take this verse seriously, know that he gives grace. He promises to give grace to help you understand your wife and to honour her. Now, this passage is not just for the Christian men. I mentioned before it has this ripple effect within the whole congregation, because it has an effect upon young guys as well, because they see their fathers and how they treat their mothers. So guys, think about the young boys who are watching. And if I can speak to the young guys, single guys, make it your aim to live this way in your future marriage, if God so grants you a marriage. Practice this now on your mother, living with your mother in an understanding way, honoring her. Practice this now on your sister, if you have one, or the girls in the congregation. Live with them in an understanding way and honour them. And rely upon God's grace to help you, because just like us men, you'll need every bit of it. And then also to the wives in the congregation here at the moment. Pray for your husbands. Pray for them, that this verse might really go deep into their hearts. Pray for other Christian husbands here, or other husbands, full stop, in this congregation, that this verse might be real and alive in their lives. Pray for the young boys, that this might be true of them, that they are growing up in this way. Pray that they would pursue this lifestyle of honourable living in the marriage, and pray that they also would depend upon the mighty grace of God, because it's only through the grace of God in their life they will be able to do this. And for everyone else, if the men in the congregation do not live this way, it affects us all indirectly, because we are part of a church family. Sin is not isolated. It has a ripple effect. There's a saying that, oh, it doesn't hurt anyone. Yes, it does. It hurts the church family. Marriages are weakened. Relationships are strained. The power of the gospel of God is undermined. There is this appearance of godliness, but a denial of its essential power. Therefore, pray for marriages. Pray for husbands. Pray for the young single guys. And be assured that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So may God grant all of us grace to help us in our time of need, as he has promised, which may even be right now. Let's pray.